And that's one of the great problems in America is we overdo things to excess and we eat some unhealthy things. And we're going to take a look at some things to get rid of out of our life. I heard of a story, and I don't recall it precisely, maybe you have, about a professor trying to teach some science students about the concept of volume. And he had this jar, and he put a whole bunch of big rocks in the jar, and he said, is the jar filled? And some of the kids said yes, and he said, oh, watch this. And then he went and he got some pebbles, and he poured it in. The pebbles worked their way around the big rocks, and he said, is the jar filled? And they said, oh, yes. And he said, oh, watch this. And he took some sand, and then he poured sand in, and the sand was up there. He says, the jar filled? They said, yes. And he said, well, watch this. And he poured water in, and water finally went in, and now the jar was filled. And he was just showing how there are different things that can fill a container. Now, your mind, your body, your soul is filled with certain things. And, of course, the best thing is water, the water of the Word. There's no question. That's what we need to be filled with. But often we fill our containers with other things. There's the rocks of religion, you know. There's the pebbles of pleasure. There's the sand of sloth and watching television and things like that. And often what we need to do is to get some of that out to get a little more water in. Well, it's the same thing with the way we eat. Sometimes we get some bad things in there and we need to get them out to get some good stuff in there. And there are some bad foods that cause a lot of problem in this nation. One of which is refined sugar. Refined sugar is something that we kind of like sweetness. Proverbs chapter 20, a couple verses in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 20, and get your finger there and hold it, and then go to Proverbs chapter 23. And in Proverbs chapter 23, it says in the first few verses, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Okay, now you got to think back a little bit to the way these people lived at the time this was written, 1000 B.C. And they were just very simply an agrarian society of farmers, and they just grew their crops and they kind of lived off them. But then there were these very wealthy rulers that lived kind of like a 21st century American. You know, they were just, that's kind of what we are, folks. Most of us live a lifestyle today that's better than most kings lived in the Middle Ages. I mean, we have more free time than kings have. We have more luxuries available to us. We have more foodstuffs available to us. Times are changing. Now the poor get fat. That's a very strange concept. That's why Dinesh D'Souza wanted to come to America from India. He said, why do you want to come to America? He says, I want to see a country where the poor people are fat. He says, I'll teach you real poverty over where I live. And it's a strange thing. And we eat the deceitful meat of kings. The deceitful meat of kings, go back to Proverbs chapter 20 and look at verse 17. That deceitful meat are sweets, refined sugars. Proverbs 20, verse 17, bread of deceit is sweet to a man. It's loaded with these sugars like a donut. But afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Why? It's going to waste away the enamel on your teeth. It's going to put a lot of sugar on there and attract bacteria, which is going to cause problems and cavities. And these are the type of things. Sugar is, refined sugar is not healthy for us. They have refined it. They have bleached it. They have taken the important part. The molasses is taken away with all the minerals. And you leave this white, pure sugar in there. And of course, you gain weight with it. Matter of fact, this one doctor had a woman come to his office, and she was on a low-fat diet, and she was gaining weight, and they couldn't understand, how are you gaining weight on a low-fat diet? Well, one, the thing was she was doing was, in order to keep herself going throughout the day, she kept chewing gum, fresh gum, with sugar in it. And she was just taking lots of sugar into her system, and she was gaining weight on a low-fat diet. Sugar will cause you to gain weight. It will do it because the minute sugar enters your bloodstream, it causes a hormone to be released called insulin. Can I teach for a minute? You're made up of 75 trillion cells. They're like little tiny factories, okay? and they need to be fed. And here's, let's say, a cell. It's spherical. God always works with circles. That's the way He works. He works with spheres. That's a picture of the universe. You've got the earth, and you've got this. And He sitteth on the circle of the earth. That's not the earth. He sits on the circle up there in the heavens. And He did that because, I'll tell you why, He doesn't like sin, but He was good. And the way you can maximize volume and minimize surface area is a sphere. So we get the most volume we can get, and He gets the minimal surface area of dealing with sin as He sits up there. But anyways, He made our cells like that too. And He doesn't like sin. But I understand. Okay. But He makes our cells like a picture of the mini universe, and it's got the cell membrane, and it's got the nucleus in the center, and it's got all kinds of things running around there. Little mitochondria, like stars, are all over the place, and there are connective endoplasmic reticulums, and just like those shooting stars. And it's very interesting. But these cells need to be fed, and the truth is, your cells are fed with a sugar called glucose. And that thing works its way right into the cell. One of the three essential food groups is carbohydrates. You see the word carbo for carbon, and hydrate for water. And that's basically all a carbohydrate is you take a carbon atom and you attach a water to it, H2O. But usually the carbohydrates are in the form of 6. So let's see, multiply by 6, C6. 6 times 2 is 12, so C6H12. Multiply that times 6, O6. That's glucose. And it's funny, the Lord kind of packs things in there. What's the number of man? 6. Okay, so we are carbon-based products. If you ever go to school, you'll study two types of chemistry. There's inorganic chemistry and organic chemistry. Inorganic chemistry is for dead things, you know, like the carpet and stuff like that, and the seats there, and they're made of a chemical material that is different types of minerals and stuff like that. Organic, living things are based with carbon, especially the human body. It's carbon-based. It's curious, when they were discovering the periodic table for chemistry, the guy was a Christian, and although he hadn't discovered the elements, he kind of knew how to set it up. It's set up in three different blocks, because God does things in threes. And he was able to put things in place and leave the blanks, knowing that God would fill them in, and they did. And carbon, curiously, is 6 protons, 6 neutrons, and 6 electrons. 6, 6, 6. That's the basis of man. Here is wisdom. It's the number of a man. 6, 6, 6. And so just physically, we're made up of carbon. And to feed us, he has us feeding with carbon 6 glucose. And that's what feeds us. Now, you need that. And can I do more teaching so you can understand? If you get these basics down, it will help you. So number one, you got carbohydrates. And number two essential food you need is protein. And the number three is fats. And from these three things, carbohydrates, protein, and fats, God can build just about anything he needs to build inside of a cell. He can build a cell membrane, taking a little bit of fat with a little bit of carbohydrate, putting a little protein in there. He can build a mitochondria. He can build an endoplasmic reticulum. He can build a ribosome. He can build anything he needs with these three things. So when you eat, you're basically assimilating these three things. I'm going to show you the next hour the best way to assimilate them. But this is basically all you're doing. And the way he established it is, I mean, I've got 75 trillion cells making up my body, which, curiously, I was doing studies one day. We were at the lab drawing blood samples. And, you know, we have these numbers. We look at a person's hemoglobin, and we look at his red cell count. And I was looking at these counts, and nobody ever looks at let's say I got 5 watts, 5 quarts, 5 liters, 5 mLs. Nobody ever looks at the actual units. They just look at the numbers. But I started looking at the units and going, 5.0 red blood cells. And I multiplied it out, and it turned out that the most plentiful cell in the human body is the red blood cell. 25 trillion of your cells are red blood cells. Now think about that. If you have 75 trillion cells, 75 minus 25 means there's 50 left. Divide the 50 in two. There's one red blood cell for every two cells. Is that not a picture of Calvary? That's just the truth. I mean, that's just medically the way it is. There's one red blood cell. The red blood cell is what supplies the oxygen, the breath of life. That's where you get life is from oxygen. No oxygen, you're dead. And I used to teach the students ABC, airway, breathing, circulation. If you don't have airway and breathing, who cares what's circulating? You're circulating dead blood. Airway, breathing, circulation. You've got to have the breath of life. The rule of threes. You ever hear of the rule of threes? Right? You can live 30 days without food, 3 days without water, 3 hours without heat, 3 minutes without oxygen. The rule of threes, the breath of life, all the way back to Genesis 2. And so the red blood cell is the thing that carries that oxygen around, and there's one red blood cell for every two cells. It's a picture of Calvary. The red covers it all. Now, here's the way he did this thing. In order to get the food through there, he uses the bloodstream. And so he set up a system. You've got an intestinal tract, and the food goes in the intestinal tract. All right. Now, when you eat a piece of food, let's say a hamburger, okay? All right. So when we eat a hamburger, you're getting a combination of protein from the meat. You're getting the fat that's also in the meat and whatever sauces or condiments you might put on. And you're getting the carbohydrates in the bun. So you get this whole thing coming into you. Now, the way these things worked out, the Lord likes to do things in groupings, just like he likes to build local assemblies. And so the carbohydrate comes down in links, of glucose links, all linked together. A long link of a carbohydrate. So you've got glucose linked to glucose linked to glucose, and they're all linked together. They're all holding hands. No hand, joint hand, they shall not be unpunished. Because what's going to happen, he's going to separate these things. But here's the key. That carbohydrate cannot cross into the bloodstream. Right next to the colon, or actually it's the duodenum here, is a blood vessel. And that blood vessel wants to get that food and bring it to this cell. But there are little itty-bitty gates, very small microscopic gates. And straight is the gate and narrow is the way. And it will not allow anything big to pass through. And so what it does is, there are enzymes that break off, and then one glucose is allowed to enter. And that's good. Now, here's the problem. When you eat refined sugar is a whole bunch of individual glucoses. And what happens, it's like a rock concert. They just storm through the gates individually. They just go flying through. They don't get broken off one at a time. And all of a sudden, you've got an overwhelming, you know, like the guy that got crushed in the gates at that one story when the prophet said, telling you tomorrow they're going to sell that stuff for a couple of shekels. Oh, yeah, and they throw them in the grave. That's exactly what the glucose just hits, and you get a big rush of glucose in your bloodstream. And that's not good. And you don't want a spike in your sugar level. God wants it to go slowly. So refined sugar is not good. But your cells need the glucose. So here's the way the Lord wants you to do it. You eat a carbohydrate, a piece of fruit, and it's linked together, and it's held together with the peptin, fibrin. And one by one, God releases that and sends that glucose, and it feeds the cell. And there's a nice, steady level throughout the day. There's not peaks and valleys going to your cells. And you get a peak for a few minutes, and you're bouncing off the wall, and then you hit a valley, and you're sitting, and you can't do anything for a while because you took a sugar rush on you. And that's the problem with taking refined sugar. It's not linked together. It just floods and goes into the cells, and you get a high, and then you get a low. And the Lord would kind of like our life to be a little bit more even keel. I mean, I know we have hills and valleys, but He wants to dampen that effect. Okay? And He wants to do that also physically. So the refined sugar, you got to be real careful with that. And here's what happens when sugar spikes in the bloodstream, the body releases insulin, and the insulin says, let's do something with this sugar. I got an idea. Let's turn it into fat. And the insulin says, I'll store it over here as fat for a while, and then maybe, you know, because we'll prevent this real high from the brain. And so what I'm saying is stay away from refined sugar. It's harmful to you. You want to eat carbohydrates in their natural form, the way God gave them, in the fruits and the grains that he gave them. That's the best way to have it. Sugar is linked to behavioral disorders, the mood swings we talked about. Sugar impairs your immune system. You have in your bloodstream these white blood cells. They're the good guys that want to protect you from bacteria and outside invaders. And when sugar gets in there, it deadens those cells and they cannot do their work. One of the worst things you can do if you're sick is to eat sugary products. I mean, Lovey and I know. Anybody sick? That's it. No sugar. No Coke. No ice cream. No pop. No anything. Nothing. No candy. No anything when you're sick. Because you're killing off your white blood cells' ability to fight the infection. Sugar creates an acid environment inside of your bloodstream. And an acid environment causes you to lose the calcium from your bones, the calcium from your teeth. It elevates your cholesterol levels. It begins plaque in your arteries. All these things can happen from refined sugar. So one rock you want to get out of your jar is refined sugar. Now, not 100%. You come to my house and you'll see in my den, I got Hershey Kisses in the drawer. How many do I have a day? Three, two or three. I might have two or three a day. Okay, you know, in moderation. I mean, hey. I like it too. So I go ahead.
Can I say something? If you have trouble with moderation, that's me. I don't have Hershey Kisses in my drawer.
Okay.
Because I can't.
She's a chocoholic. Okay, she can't do it.
No,
yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah.
There's people that live to eat. I'm not good about food. I love food. And there's people that just eat to live.
Yeah, I couldn't care less about food.
If you have a problem with things, the thing is, I don't have good willpower. He does. But it's control. I learned that.
Yeah. Talk to her. She's much better than I am.
No, one other thing about the sugar and being sick. Sugar feeds bacteria.
Oh, they love it. Oh, they love it.
So if you have a sore throat, you're that ice cream feels good.
So one thing to get rid of, or at least cut down on, okay, refined sugar. I mean, to whittle it down, get a few of that out of there. Another thing is, what we've done is, because people like sweet, we've come up with artificial sweeteners. Two of them are aspartame and Splenda. Now, when I first learned about aspartame, initially, when it was first invented, I said, well, that's pretty interesting. It's a combination of two amino acids. Carbohydrates are made up of linked sugars. Proteins are made up of linked amino acids. They're these little groups, amino acids, and they link together and they make a protein. Can I just stop here for a minute and teach you something? Let's see if I can find this one sheet. Because people talk about evolution. And I just want to show you something about why there's no evolution. We'll just show it to you mathematically. You know, the funny thing is, I've observed, many people hold to an opinion out of ignorance. They've been taught wrong, okay? I mean, I was taught wrong as a little boy. I was taught wrong that if I was good and I obeyed the sacraments and I went to Mass and I got confirmed and I did all that stuff and made my confession, that maybe one day I'd be good enough to go to heaven. How do I know anybody? I'm a kid. That's what you taught me. It'd be like if somebody came here and said, Florida is north of Michigan. Now look, we'd laugh as adults, but if you started teaching a three-year-old that Florida is north of Michigan, Florida is north of Michigan, they would just parrot it and repeat it until hopefully someone came and straightened them out. So one of the problems that happens is a lot of people hold to opinions because they've just been taught things wrong. So let's take a look at proteins are made of amino acids. There are, curiously, 22 amino acids. Isn't that curious? There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And the proteins are like sentences of amino acids strung together. He likes Hebrew, apparently. So the proteins follow that. The DNA chromosomes, there are 22 autosomes that make up the DNA. It's the same type of thing. So the Lord got something about that number 22 that he likes. But they're made up of these amino acids. Now, the smallest protein known to man on the planet is the TRP cage protein from the salivary gland of a Gila monster. And it's, no, I just want to show you something. So it's 20 amino acids long. So it's 20 amino acids in length. Now, if you're ever at University of Michigan and you're dealing with a student who's been taught evolution and never had a chance to think it through, be honest with him and say, have you ever considered the fact that you think things evolved over time? Well, sure, billions of years. I'm going to erase this for a minute just to do some math with you to show you that it's not possible. And if the person is honest when faced with the facts, they'll admit it, just like Anthony Flew, the great British PhD, finally admitted at the age of 80 years old when he saw these numbers. He said his last book, he had always written books against God. He wrote his final book, it was There Is No God. He did it for his audience. And then he crossed out the word no and he put A, there is a God above it. Now, he never learned who God was and said he probably died in his sin. But let's just take a look at it. I got a 20 amino acids to make up this thing. And there are 22 different amino acids that could make this up. So that I've got 22 possible amino acids to the 20th power. So that would equal 2.2 times 10 to the 23. We scientists like to use scientific notation. It's always 10 to a certain logarithm or exponent we like to use. So 2.2 times 10 to the 23. Now, so you tell them that's the simplest amino acid known in the history of mankind, not in a human body. In a human body, the smallest amino acid is 50 amino acids. It's for insulin itself. And so it's much bigger. But let's just take the smallest one in the history of mankind. And this little Gila monster. 15 billion years. Okay, you say the Earth is 15 billion years old. Okay, so 15 billion in scientific notation is 1.5 times 10 to the 10. That equals 15 billion years. Okay. Let's do a little more. How many seconds are in 1 year? How many seconds? Okay. Well, I did the math at home the other day. It's 31,556,900 seconds. Let's put it in scientific notation. Make it easy. So that's we'll round off to 3.2 times 10 to the 7. So there's 10 to the 7 seconds in a year. Yeah. Now, I got to multiply these two together. And that's easy. 1.5 times 3.2 is 4 to the 8, 4.8. And you just add the exponents, and that's times 10 to the 17. So here's my point to the scientist. So the simplest protein ever found in the history of mankind is 2.2 times 10 to the 23, and the number of seconds in 15 billion years is 4.8 times 10 to the 17. Let me translate what that means. If we just started going through combinations, one per second, for 15 billion years, you would have to have 458,000 universes to make that one protein. Because one time through is not sufficient. And this number is 458,000 times larger than that number. You'd need 458,000 universes running a combination a second to ever come upon this simplest protein ever made. It's not likely. And that's just one protein. That doesn't mean anything. That's not an organism. That's just one protein within an organism. That's just the saliva of a Gila monster. So anyone with an honest brain will go, okay, I guess this couldn't have happened by chance. See, the question now is no longer the mind. Now it's the heart. Because I've just presented the information to you. So there you go. I need 458,000 universes running at a second, every single second, to come up with the simplest protein for a Gila monster saliva gland. I don't think you're going to come up with a human being. All right. Sorry to do all that stuff. I like doing this stuff once in a while. Back to where we were. Proteins are made of amino acids. And amino acids, they break down and they go into the system and your body incorporates them to make muscle and bone and all type of things. So when I first saw this thing, aspartame, I said, wow, that's interesting. It's an amino acid. It's aspartic acid. That's one of the essential amino acids. But it's also hooked up with another thing called methanol. So you've got the aspartame, plus there's a phenylalanine, plus there's methanol. Now, if anybody knows a methanol is wood alcohol. It's bad stuff. Grain alcohol. The formula for methanol is CH40. It's the stuff people drink in beer is called ethanol. It's got two carbons, but this is meth. Meth is the prefix for one. It's got one carbon in it. Methanol. Very deadly stuff. If you drink 10 milliliters of that, just a small test tube, you'll go blind. If you drink 30 milliliters of it, you'll die. Now, so the methanol is contained inside of aspartame. Now, thankfully, what the body does, as soon as it gets in there, there's a dehydrogenase enzyme that changes that to try to protect you. And it dehydrogenates it to CH20. It takes two hydrogens out and sends them away, sends them off packing. And now that looks a little safer. I've got a carbon with a little water group attached to it there. But unfortunately, there's another enzyme in your body that oxidizes that thing and turns it into CH2O2, puts another oxygen on there. And that thing is formic acid. And that's not good. And your body just goes through some like regular steps that it's supposed to do with good food, but something strange came in, and it goes through the normal steps, and out comes formic acid. And that's a very deadly thing that hurts the mitochondria, and that affects particularly your nerve cells. And there's been a tremendous uptick recently in Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, and the other one is Lou Gehrig's disease. I mean, when I went to medical school, Lou Gehrig's disease, it was like 1 out of 100,000. I've known 3 people with it in the past few years. I mean, it's just getting out of hand. And that aspartame, people are living on diet pops. And that stuff is just circulating through their system and making this up and doing damage to nerve cells. So my recommendation, I would kind of cut back on diet pop. If I had to choose between diet or regular Coke with refined sugar, give me the regular Coke. Okay, it's safer than the aspartame. So the first thing I wanted you to show is there's some things you want to get out of your diet, and it's these sweeteners, these artificial sweeteners and too much refined sugar. The next thing you want to cut back on your diet, go to Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. One of these days, I want to show you the study that convinced Anthony Flew that there was a God. You ever hear that old thing about if you put enough monkeys in a room and you let them type, they could type the works of Shakespeare? Did you ever hear that? You know, I think by time and chance, it's one of the great arguments they use. Well, the British science laboratory put 6 monkeys in a room with computers for a solid month, and they didn't come up with one English word. And so they showed Anthony Flew the shortest sonnet has 144 letters in it that Shakespeare ever wrote. And when you do the mathematical progression, it just blew him away. I mean, a scientific mind goes, oh my goodness, he just said there has to be a God. This is impossible. But I'll show you the numbers one day later, maybe over lunch or something. But anyways, here we are too. It's the heart is the problem. Yeah. You know, you present the information. You know, you get these poor kids, these college kids, they come knocking on your door. Hello, yes, college student, mind full of mush. I'd like you to sign a petition here. You know, the rainforests are disappearing and the ozone is disappearing. You know, I mean, poor stupid kid. I mean, who taught him this stuff? I say to this boy, I said, do you know what ozone is? Do you even know what it is? I said, you go to college, don't you? Have they ever taught you what ozone is? Okay. Up in there, up in the atmosphere, there's oxygen. And when the sun is beating, every so often a ray of sunlight will directly hit an oxygen and split it up into 2 atoms, and they're separated. And they want to get back together, but you know what's surrounding them? There's so much other oxygen that they just add to that, and you get O plus O2 and it equals O3, and that's ozone. And as long as the sun is shining, we're constantly making ozone. The question is, why aren't we overwhelmed by this stuff? Because what the Lord did is, in addition to having the sun make it, He's got a system to break it down so there's a steady state. And it's the ocean. And the ocean releases something called chlorine gas. And chlorine gas comes up and breaks it down. And so it's made, it's broken down, it's made, it's broken down. And there's a nice layer. The shields of the earth belong to God. That's one of the shields of the earth is ozone. And you couldn't get rid of ozone if you wanted to. So I said to the young student, I said, how much chlorine gas is released by the ocean? I don't know. I said, 660 million tons a year. How much chlorine has man made? Well, you know, those spray cans. I said, first off, those are chlorofluorocarbons. They're heavier than air. They go like right under the ground. They don't float. A chlorofluorocarbon just falls onto the ground. It goes up about 5 feet, and you spray your cans like this all you want. It might reach the ceiling, and it falls. It's heavier than air. I said, but even if you took all the chlorine out of the cans, the most we ever made is 75,000 tons. 75,000 to 660 million, that's less than 0.001%. It's negligible impact. When a volcano explodes, it releases about 30 million tons, and that's, again, about 2%, and that's negligible. The Lord has this thing on a perturbation curve. It's no big deal. So who teaches you guys? Who's teaching these kids? So then, you know, then the thing is, the kid's got to make a decision. Throw the clipboard down and go, I learned the truth, or stick to his evil heart and go to the next door. And usually they stick to go to the next door because people resist truth, scientific, social, or spiritual. But we give it to them anyways. But how do you respond to truth? Do you want to know truth? That's the key. Amos 8, verse 6. The Lord's upset with his people here. They're selling wheat on the Sabbath day. He doesn't like that. But here's something he doesn't like in verse 6. That we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and watch, and sell the refuse of the wheat. The refuse of the wheat. Go to Deuteronomy 32, and he'll show you what the good wheat is. And then I'll draw it on the board for you. There's good wheat, and there's bad wheat. And guess what Americans eat? Deuteronomy chapter 32. This is the Lord loving his people, taking care of his people, keeping his people as the apple of his eye, as an eagle scurrying up over the nest, fluttering over her young, bearing them on her wings, verse 11. So the Lord alone did lead him, that would be Jeshurun or Israel. When there was no strange God with him, he made him, that would be Israel, ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And here's good food. Here we go. God, the Lord, made him to suck honey out of the rock. Honey's good. Oil, and it's going to be olive oil, out of the flinty rock. I told you need fats, and one of the healthiest fats is olive oil. Butter of kine. Yes, butter's good. Margarine's bad. We'll see in a minute. Milk of sheep. That's good. The fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan and goats with the fat of, here we go, kidneys of wheat. You've got the refuse of the wheat. You've got the kidneys of wheat. Let me draw for you. The refuse of the wheat is refined flour. Just like refined sugar is bad, refined flour is bad. Wheat comes in, God does everything in threes. The kidneys of wheat are kind of shaped like a kidney, and it's got the outer part, which is called the bran. And then it's got a little part in here, down at the bottom here, which is very healthy. It's called the germ. And then the rest of it is filled up with this starchy stuff that's called the endosperm. Endosperm. All right. And these three parts make up a kidney of a healthy wheat. This is whole wheat when you go to buy that. Now, unfortunately, what we do is we strip the bran away, take the wheat germ out, and take the refuse and sell it as white flour. And actually, it's not actually white. In the refining process, it's a terrible what they do. They have to mill it. And what they do is they take it and they use high temperature, and it damages a lot of the grain and what's left in there. And then it comes out oxidized, all gray. And nobody's going to buy gray wheat, so they bleach it with Clorox and sell it to you white. And that's what you're getting, is the refuse of the wheat. When you buy most of your bread products in the center of a grocery store, is the most dangerous area of a grocery store. Because that's all the stuff that lasts for a long time, and it lasts for a long time because man has processed it. Think of it like a modern Bible. The center of the grocery store is where all the new versions are, okay? And they've all been touched by man and altered by man and everything by man. And around the outside, the perimeter where the vegetables are and the fruits are, and that's the good stuff. That's like the King James all around there. And in the center is where all the refined flour and refined sugar and all those things, where all the nutrients have been stripped away. You take the kidneys of the wheat, you have 72% carbohydrate, 12% protein, 2% fat. You have minerals and vitamins. You have water, 12% water in there. I mean, it's healthy. I mean, God made it. God just said in Deuteronomy, I gave this to my people to sustain them. The Lord's going to give you something bad? But what do we do? Just like in the book of Amos, you know. Amos, the country preacher, goes to the big Rick Warren church at Bethel. Says, this isn't good. You know, oh, this is the king's chapel here. By the way, that's the only time in the whole Bible the word chapel is ever found, is in the book of Amos. So Jesus is building a church, not a chapel. Not an assembly. He's building a church. If you have no problem with the word church, that's what he's building, see? And so he's not building a chapel. It's funny how these new places come up with alternate names. They just can't accept the fact that Jesus is building a church, which is what we should be a part of, is helping Jesus build his church. But the chapel over there in Amos, they're selling the refuse of the wheat. And today at these chapels, they have the new versions, which is the refuse of the wheat. But physically, God wants to give you the full grain. And so you want to get rid of this white flour. It converts to sugar rapidly. It spikes the sugar processes. It does all the other things we talked about before. Hurts the immune system, all those types of things. The white bread's Wonder Bread. It's a wonder they call that thing bread, okay? That's what you got to wonder about. I mean, who came up with that notion? You're better off eating the balloons on the picture of the cover than the bread itself, probably. But okay, so refined sugar is one thing you want to cut down on. Refined flour is a thing you want to cut down on. Another thing you want to cut down on is deadly meats. And there's a whole heck of them, a lot of them. From the late 1800s to, let's say, the late 1900s, there was a tremendous increase in the amount of flesh sold in the United States of America. And along with it increased a lot of cancer. Cancer is really, I mean, it's a 20th century disease. It really has been increasing and increasing and increasing. I was part of a cancer memorial institute in Buffalo. It's called Roswell Park. We did all kinds of research. I was there for a while doing research with them. And I started going back, studying things in the late 1800s. And they had more sense than we have now. You know, the motto in the late 1800s was, your best medicine is your best food, and your best food is your best medicine. And they treated people by changing diets, and it helped. But now, they say, oh, that's just wife's tale. Just eat what you want and take this pill. That's not true. Your cells need to be fed, and they need to be fed healthily. And so these deadly meats that we have nowadays, these fast foods, these cold cuts, these packaged meats, one meat to avoid is pork. Even the Lord said it's unclean in Leviticus 11. He knows what he's talking about. You know what those pigs eat? I mean, I'm embarrassed. We'll turn the mics off. I'll tell you what they eat. They're scavengers. You're not eating healthy food when you eat any kind of pork. You like bacon? Pray to God to have it once a year. I mean, cut back on it. I mean, you've got to learn to cut back on these things, folks. Don't let your taste buds rule you. Sometimes you've got to learn to put your body under control. Or whatever. I guess the trumpet's short. At least get out and track somebody in the meantime. But I mean, bacon, processed ham, sausage, hot dogs, a salami, a bologna, these packaged meats, Not only are they unhealthy intrinsically, they're loaded with salt, they're loaded with nitrates and nitrites and saturated fats and all these things. The nitrates and nitrites break down into nitrosamines that cause cancer, all these problems. And we have induced so many problems on us as a nation. As a doctor, we're almost done. Next time I'm going to tell you how I've been eating since 1985. 27 years of eating. You can see pictures of me from then and now. I look almost the same, except the hair's a little grayer. But there's a way to eat that's healthy. And you can maintain your health. And when I would see the patients, I would think, if you would just do this, I'm telling you, 80% of doctors would be out of work if people ate properly. That's just the truth. But because transgression multiplies, many are the princes or the doctors of the land, and so that's just the way it's going to go. And people are going to do what they want, and we're going to make lots of money. And it's just the way it is. And because most lost people, all they're worried about is their physical life, and they'll do anything to prolong it. Yea, everything a man, he'll give for his skin, for his life. And that's why doctors are overpaid, which I used to tell my colleagues all the time. You realize we're overpaid, guys? We don't deserve what we're getting for what we do. But hey, if they want to cough it up, we don't set the fees. We don't even set the fees anymore. The government does. That's another story. But the thing is, you want to cut back on some of these rocks in your container, the refined flour, the refined sugar, the deadly meats. And then the last thing is the bad fats, hydrogenated fats, known as trans fats. Those are fats that have been altered through a process that was invented by a German scientist in 1902. And they take the oil or the fat, and they put it under high pressure with hydrogen gas, and they use nickel as a metal catalyst, and they emulsify this thing, and they make something like, it comes out gray, so no one will eat it, so then they color it yellow and call it margarine, and that's what people eat. And that's one of the unhealthiest things you can ever put in your mouth, is that trans fat. That stuff just gets into your system, and the chemical structure of that thing alters your bloodstream, causes your HDL, your cholesterol to go nuts, LDLs, everything gets out of whack, plaques all over the arteries of the body. And usually if you got a plaque somewhere, you got it somewhere else too. Rarely you'll get it in just one area because of a change from laminar to turbulent flow, which is strange. But for most people, you got a plaque one place, you got it somewhere else. It's a systemic problem, and it's usually due to taking in those trans fats. So, I mean, look on a package. If it's got trans fat, goodbye. I don't want anything to do with it. And these are some of the rocks to get out of your container. Next time, I'm going to show you what to put in to your container that will hopefully help your health. Any questions? Then let's thank the Lord and take a break. Lord, thank you for showing us some things in the book there. Please help us, Lord. We do want to get some of these rocks out of our container and get more of the water, particularly of the Word. This I pray in Jesus' name.